Blog Talk Radio.
So we're hearing feedback. We're hearing stuff. Mute the line, please.
It is what it is.
Hey, hey, what's going on, family? This is Brother Kev, and this is Collective Minds Radio. We back. Rigel Star, Mufasa Rai. What's up, y'all? What's going on? How we feeling?
I'm feeling good, as always.
All right.
Feeling fabulous.
Okay, and so again, family, we have a great show for you today. Hopefully, you know, we can provide some constructive dialogue, you know, as we talk about solutions for the family, for the community, for personal development, and, you know, all that good stuff. So please don't hesitate to give us a call and share your thoughts. This is Collective Minds. So, you know, this is not a spectator sport. We want people to call in and give their opinion on the topics. The number is 929-477-1697. And before we get into the dialogue, as always, do we have any announcements, family? Rigel Star, any announcements?
I want to actually congratulate my daughter on finishing up her book. She's a 12-year-old author. She actually wrote the book when she was 11. This is her second publication, actually. Her first one was in preschool. And so I'd like to congratulate her, and anybody listening want to go out and support, you can find it on Amazon. Just type in Abigail Hill and look for the book titled How to Be the Bully. And please leave a comment or a review as well. And I want to also give a happy birthday to my oldest daughter today. Micah's turning 19, so happy birthday, Micah. I want to salute her as well for a lot of good accomplishments. And that's it. That's all the announcement.
All right, indeed. Congratulations to Abigail Hill, the published author in the family. Like she said, I'm going to just echo, go to Amazon to get the book. And happy birthday to Micah Ties. We love you. All right. Now, Mufasa Rock. Any announcements? Whoa.
Well, I thought you were going to slide right by me.
No, Mufasa Rock. I got you.
Look at that. I did all that, and I ain't even got no announcements. I'll say this though. I just wanted to because I made this announcement last weekend, but it's kind of tying with the show, so I'm gonna say it again. Shout out to Sonetta TV, Black News 102, for that lovely event he put down last weekend when he put down the Sonetta TV Awards. It was, it was centered around Black consciousness, giving awards and acknowledging all those Black scholars we got. So, man, it was a lovely event, and I want to salute that brother for what he has been doing, his hard work. And, you know, if y'all get a chance to go back, check it out on YouTube, go to his channel, and y'all can catch, some clips of the event. But it was a beautiful thing showing Black unity, Black love, and Black excellence.
That's right. Shout out to Sonetta. And, as far as announcements, I didn't really have any announcements, but I just wanted to share with y'all, like, because I've been, sharing stories. It seems like every week there are police being called on Black people for doing all type of things, chilling at the pool, selling cookies, mowing grass, I mean, barbecuing, you name it, like. So, I just want to tell the family, be careful. Definitely know your rights and know what you can and can't do. Because basically they just calling hits. They hoping something go down where the police come and it gets bad for one of us. So that's why I say just protect yourself and don't be afraid, too. You can call the police as well. You know, if people feel like if you feel like somebody's threatening you, they're raising their voice, cussing, or whatever, harassing you, you can call the police as well and play a victim just like them. So you know, I just wanted to put that out there. It seems like these stories been popping up, which is really nothing new, but I think they, you know, with the cameras and stuff, we just catching a lot of it. So just protect yourself, family, when you get out there. You dig? So with no further ado, again, this is Collective Minds Radio. And today we are talking about the mindset of black people, really in regards to how we treat each other. Like, you know, where does this mindset come from? People call it the crab in a bucket mentality. You know, it seems like we quick to a lot of times do each other in. It seems before we even think about, you know, doing something to someone outside of our group. So we just want to examine this mindset, add some dialogue, and, you know, try to come up with some solutions as well that we can, maybe a code or something that we can put down as far as dealing with each other, how we should approach, you know, approach each other and approach that aspect. So give us a call, 929-477-1697. So
hey, Brother Kev.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, don't forget to throw out there one of the incidents that happened that got us started to thinking about this.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Damon Dad.
So, yeah, exactly, yeah. So, yeah, that was the incident that kind of got us thinking about this as far as the little situation that Dame Dash had with Lee Daniels, who produced Precious and Empire and a few other things in Hollywood. He's a movie producer. And supposedly Dame caught him at a Diana Ross concert like last week and went up to him and approached him about the $2 million loan, you know. And one of the things was Dame was saying was like, you know, we brothers, man. Like, I looked out for you as a black man. You should, you know, at the minimum, you know, give me my my loan back or whatever, loan investment, you know, whatever they got had going on. You know, he approached them like, you know, hey, it's time to pay up because he'd been on this money for a while, supposedly. So it's just one of those examples of how, you know, if we loan somebody some money or try to help another brother out, that brother may try to do something shady or not come correct or do right by the terms and agreements that we had. And it seems like that does happen within our community. So we want to examine that particular mindset and, you know, hopefully, like I say, provide some solutions to get rid of that mindset when it comes to dealing with each other. So that's what we're talking about today on Collective Minds, Brother Kev, Mufasa Ra, and Rigel Star. So who wanna tackle it first? Y'all wanna go?
Rigel, Mufasa can go ahead and go first.
Okay, yeah.
Where do you think
this mindset come from, man?
Well, I hate to have to, you know, I guess put the blame all on slavery, but I will put a large percentage of the blame on slavery as far as the black man here in America, because when you take a people and you erase their history, you erase their culture and their knowledge of self, and then you start to turn them into something else, Frankenstein them into another creature, into a people who don't know their origins, then that's one of the ways that, you know, you change the mindset of a people. That's one of the ways that started us to self-hate each other. You look at the whole slave mentality where you had the Negroes in the house, the Negroes out the house, the light skin, dark skin, good hair, bad hair. You know, that type of stuff started, you know, many moons ago. And I think that stuff was inbred into our DNA. You know, so just for the conversation, I'm just strictly talking about, you know, black people here in America for this conversation. But, yeah, I look at it as it was inbred as far as, you know, what happened to us in slavery. And we just ain't came completely up out of that. with all the stuff that we got that scholars have taught us to counteract that, trying to give us knowledge of self and learn our true history. For some reason, only a small percentage of us, seek that type of information out. A lot of us are still basically Americanized and going by what the general society, promotes out there as far as the, money hungry, how do you call it, lustful. A lot of bad habits that come in this American society that we have taken on, and we love that. We don't want to give that up. And like I said, you got scholars like two that I look up to, Marcus Garvey and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who laid down programs to, make the black man more aware of who they are and to uplift them and try to teach black people to get along and, love each other. And those two scholars get overlooked by a lot of the mainstream society. I mean, we don't even honor these two brothers at all. So
right.
That's, in my opinion, that's got to have something to do with not only our psyche, our mentality, but what was embedded in us from slavery. It's like what you call it, post-traumatic slavery disorder?
Post-traumatic slavery disorder by Joy DeGruy. That's a book recommendation.
Yeah. Yep.
Check it out.
We still suffering from that type of stuff. And we just ain't came about it. But like I say, those are two scholars, and I might even, read some of their works later on in the conversation. Like I say, Marcus Garvey and Honorable Elijah Muhammad, those are two black men that gave us programs and principles to build on to love each other and have an honest self and build something for ourselves. But not too many
That's
of
right.
us. We might know who the brothers are, but not very few of us read their works, study their works, and try to implement their works.
Right. Yeah, indeed. Man, you said it. That's really where it started at. I think as far as our issues and problems, all of it, a lot of it points back to slavery. And that's why you really got to, like you say, dive into those scholars, read their works, and try to understand how we got in this position as a people. You know what I'm saying? And another scholar that people need to look into is Neely Fuller Jr. And he got a quote that says, "If you do not understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you." So all that to say, we got to understand the type of system that we're living in and why we do these things to each other. Like, the system is set up, right? This white supremacist system is set up for anyone who mistreats or harms black people. You get certain kind of benefits, including black people or non-white people. You see what I'm saying? If you're a black person and you, go against black society or mistreat or harm black people, terrorize them, you get certain benefits. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how the system is set up. Now, you're not going to get, the full benefits of being white, but you can get some benefits by disassociating yourself with black people, and mistreating them. And that's part of the system and part of the thing that we got to understand. Even if you're black, like I say, you can get certain benefits. And on the flip side of that, anyone who tries to help black people in any constructive manner, you get, you're going to get ostracized. You're going to get targeted. You can just look at all the groups and leaders we had back in the day that came up and tried to help, liberate black people. What happened to them? A lot of them were discredited, assassinated, groups infiltrated, the government took them down, saw them as a threat, and so on and so forth. So as long as we understand that particular dynamic that, you know, if you try to help black people in a certain way, you're going to be targeted. But if you mistreat and harm black people, there are certain rewards that you can get. So we should not fall for that trick. You know what I'm saying? We should not fall for that trick. And that's where the culture comes in and a code comes in for protecting one another, you know, doing our dealings with each other. And another thing I say is we have to be patient with each other and understand that it is a sick mentality that a lot of our people have. Like, it's a sick mentality that's been programmed and embedded in us based on the educational system, TV, and all these other things, you know. So just wanted to put that out there for now. Rise of Star, you want to hop in?
Yeah, you guys, you know, pretty much said some valid points, so I don't really have much to say because I definitely feel like Mufasa said, and like you also acknowledged too, that our issues definitely start with slavery. You know, and not to say that we can't move forward. You know, we may have to change some things because the slavery experience probably, you know, altered a lot of the personalities of the black people. And because our personalities has been so altered due to a lot of the trauma that we experience, it's just so unfortunate that, you know, we still are dealing with the consequences of it, and we're hurting ourselves and other black people in our community. You know, it's really not, although I acknowledge where I stem from, the origin of it, and know how real it is and was, even though I didn't have to experience so much of that, but I'm still living in it. We can still change. You know, it still takes a decision. You know, it still just takes only a decision right now to today that each individual can say that I'm not going to do this anymore. You know, it's still just that simple to change. I know it'll take a lot of work because you have to get to a place where you see the reason to change. And that's where the issues, I think, comes in when we have to deal with and look back into our history. It's hard for us to want to care and want to change because, we went through so much trauma. You know, it alters us. You know, it alters how we see things, how we view things. It almost hardens us. You know, it makes our heart harden to the point where we want to disconnect and we don't want to associate. We just want to try to either just get through this or just try. It's so hard. You know, we view it as so hard and so challenging that we don't want to take on so many burdens. We want to just try to take the easy way out because it's already a hard road. So we look for, you know, shortcuts and try to alter things to make what we already had decided is going to be a hard road. We look for shortcuts to try to make it easy on ourselves, you know. And in the process, unfortunately, some of those shortcuts is through our neighbor's vacuuming. We decide not to care because we on a different mission where we feel like we got to try to accomplish this, you know. And that's pretty much all.
No, I can't. Somebody get loud. I can't hear.
That's what I was gonna say too. That's what I was trying to say. We do take the easy route because it's easier to pick on another victim of the system. You know what I'm saying? Like it's easier to fight somebody that's close to you as opposed to fighting the people that got you in this particular situation, or at least understanding the situation that you're in so you can rise out instead of just, you know, attacking each other. It's like It's like an ant, like ants. You know what I'm saying? Like an ant form or bees. Like individually. Dang, I had to struggle to get that one out. Individually, an ant or bee, you know, they can't really do nothing in, as an individual. But when they team up and work together, they can build mounds and honey. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's what
exactly.
we're not doing. We're very disorganized and not working together like that swarm of bees to make honey or those ants that get together to build huts. They don't worry about what the next one doing. They just do their job, you know, and work with each other. So, and why don't we just put this out there? Now I'm going to let you go, Mufasa. Because I look at it like, what would it be like for slaves to be arguing and fighting at the bottom of a slave ship with each other? Like, that doesn't make any sense for them to be fighting and, you know, and they at the bottom of a slave ship. That wouldn't make any sense, and that's how I correlated today. Like, it doesn't make sense for us to be going at each other when we're all trying to liberate ourselves, you know.
Because I wanted to add this into it. You know, I feel where you're coming from with that, but something else that I was thinking about was the way black life has been devalued because of slavery.
Right. Fact.
You know, when you look at, I mean, they was just treating us like, basically like trash. You know, our lives meant nothing. Animals' lives were better than black people's lives. And that has funneled down, like I said, still in our DNA and how we treat each other now. Because
fact.
If you look at how Lee Daniels did Damon Dash, you know, we was talking about it before, like, we know this man got the money to pay this man. And even if he didn't have the money to pay it all to him, he could have called him and say, but I know that, you know, you basically helped me out. You put me on. Let me make some payment arrangements to you. If he loved and cared about his fellow brother like that, he would have reached out and made something happen before Damon Dash had to go to them lengths. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, we just have gotten to the point where we don't care about, I mean, not gotten to the point, but because our lives have been devalued so much, that still resonates today. I mean, even looking at the music, how we still talk about, our youth talk about killing each other so much. I mean, with ease, you know,
right.
Pull up on them,
right.
Spray this person with that, spray this dude with that. We always party and have fun off killing each other.
Right, yeah.
You know,
and then
that's
not
a psychological
only,
problem.
That is
yeah,
a fact.
Let's
that is
take
a fact.
Some callers, get some other views on here. Let's
okay,
go with caller area code 404-921. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I was just gonna make a comment real quick. I mean,
yes, sir.
Yeah, what y'all talking about is important, but I mean, overall, it just means if you buy into individualism, buy into Americanism, then you can be divided and conquered. So, I mean, that's just what we're dealing
right.
with. The majority of black people don't even see themselves as, you know, unified and as one people, as black people, let alone getting into talking about if you say somebody's an African, they get seriously upset at you. So, we're in a bad spot collectively, but still there are organizations making their moves and doing their work. There are people who get up every day and think about the advancement of black people and try to make that happen as best they can, which is all you can ask. Like, nobody is going to solve this generational problem by themselves because they want it to be solved. Like, no, just keep pushing forward, keep chipping away.
Fact.
You eat an elephant one piece at a time, and, you know, this system will fall too, just like every other one. There's never been an empire that lasted forever. We just happen to be the people who've been there to see each empire rise and fall because we're the oldest people. So we get real confused about who we are over here in America. I'll put it in those terms. But when you talk about capitalism and individualism, you put that in any people. Notice when they brag about the foreign groups who come over here. First, second generation, they're using their huge family infrastructure to push themselves forward, to make things happen.
That's right.
By that second,
that's right.
In the second, third generation, they're Americanized. They're talking about all kinds of other things. That family structure breaks apart, and they're dealing with the same issues we're dealing with. So just think about where we are, what the society is based on, not only the ignorance of the population, but also the aims of the people who control the society and the way that they want it to go. 45 is not like it, 45 is not the result of, oh well, that's just this country. No, that's what this country would lead to and would elect someone like that.
Yeah,
that's how bad this country is. It didn't get bad just because he got hit. Yeah, man. As far as black people as a whole, what I would call African people, but I got to be careful with that because most black people get mad at you. They want to tell you about their dead white parents. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll keep moving.
Indeed, indeed, caller. You was dropping it. Appreciate it. You was definitely dropping some jewels on that. And he is right and exact. So if you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the state of mind of black people as a collective. And, you know, how do we get that critical mass of black people to get on the same code and understand, you know, that we need to be working together as opposed to, you know, trying to sabotage each other, or mistreat each other. So give us a call.
Yeah,
the number's 929-477-1697. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah. We'll take another call, but I just want to just kind of reiterate what you were touching base on as far as us helping one another, you know, especially, and I know I'm not the only one that experienced this in the field that I'm in. I work in the entertainment field, so I've experienced a lot of hate and shade amongst our people, and I just think it's so sad. It's like we don't want to try to help each other, and I know it stems from these types of issues that we've been talking about earlier. But let's go to the phone lines again, and then we can kind of touch base on that. Let's do call 314-504. You have a question or comment? Area code 314-504. You have a question or comment? Okay.
They may just be listening, but I think the caller made some excellent points. You know, there are organizations and people out here doing it, but I think the masses of us, and I've said this a lot of times, I think the masses of us, they may be washed up. You know, it's going to be a small percentage of people who are going to get it because the direction that the country is going and 45 is going with this stuff, like if you're not somewhat aware and somewhat conscious, you're probably going to get washed up just based on the direction they're going. You know, so that's why it's important that those of us that do work together and do see, you know, black people as a collective and see, you know, our liberation moving forward and do try to work together, those are going to be the ones who survive, you know, moving forward. You know, because the masses are going to do what the masses are going to do. And unfortunately, the masses have assimilated into American individualism, like the caller talked about. And we don't see the benefits of working together when the entire system has classified us in a group and is working against us. And we don't see ourselves as part of that group because individually we may be doing well. And then, like we said before, it's easier to mistreat and disrespect and harm another black person based on the system.
Thanks.
You know, but we have to get out of that individualism that the caller talked about and work as a collective. And like I say,
Thanks.
Those who do that will be the ones that, you know, will survive moving forward. So, and I think now Mufasa touched on a point, too, I want to hear, too. When he talked about the devalue of human life and of black life that they perpetrated since slavery, and that is still going on today. I don't know if y'all got to see the new Purge movie, the first Purge that came out. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of reviews and things that they are talking about as far as, you know, they basically putting it out there. It's a lot of black bodies on the ground. So this propaganda is also perpetrated today through movies and media, the news, where you just see a lot of black death, and then you become desensitized to it if you're not aware, and then another dead black body just don't mean nothing. You know what I'm saying? And that's part of the game that's still going on today, is devaluing black life. And just getting people desensitized to black death, you know. And they do it on social media too as well. Like, how many times we've seen, you know, videos of us fighting each other, going viral, somebody getting shot, going viral. And like I say, these things take effect on your psyche and on your subconscious, then you fall into that trap. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yep.
We got to break away from that as, you know, as much as we can and not fall victim and give our energy to it and our thoughts, because thoughts become things, and, you know, things start to transform and come about based on our thoughts. So we really mm-hmm. got to be careful where we're putting our energy and our thoughts, and don't fall victim to the anti-black mentality, you know, which is, you know, I'm going to get mine. Right. I ain't worried about you. And, you know, we ain't going to work together. And it's a mean mug when we got to deal with each other mm-hmm. type deal. We got to get away from that. So,
yeah, this, I want to add this into the conversation, because we kind of talked about this a couple months ago. Whereas, you know, Brother Kev and Roger know that, you know, I got quite a few white coworkers, quite a few. And as we sitting back sometimes at lunch, the news will be on. And the news is always showing, you know, all the black-on-black crime that happened. You know, every day, it ain't a day go by that we watching our local news and we don't see one to two murders, you know, of a black-on-black crime. And, you know, my coworkers, one in particular, I remember him just overwhelmed, like, man, I can't believe, I mean, what's going on? One day he just asked me, like, what's going on in the city? Why is it like that? And I can sit back, and I mean, I hate to bash my people, but I have to look at this situation like this. I mean, I just got to keep it real. If I'm sitting there and it's us and we're just talking about life experiences, I can sit there and talk about multiple people that I know have been murdered, been a victim of crime, you know, or committed them crimes themselves. I mean, multiple people. Whereas the white guys in the shop, they may know only maybe one person, maybe two. But as a black person, it's shameful, as a black person that grew up in the inner city, that I can just think of so many people that I know that have been a victim of crime, you know, have killed someone. And so even though we know that the root of the cause is slavery, I don't want it to get out of, I don't want us to let ourselves off the hook neither with, like, man, we have the power to change this stuff through education and knowing, like you say, educating ourselves so we know what's going on. We can change this stuff. We have the power to change this. I mean, right now, we may say, a lot of our people's minds are enslaved, but physically, we're not enslaved like we were hundreds of years ago. Oh, I feel a Kanye moment coming, but I ain't going to go there.
Right.
You know, but
yes,
with the power, we have the power to change this stuff, to change this thing.
Right, we got the power. This is facts. This is facts. Now, the only thing, we got the power, but part of the system that we're under is based on confusion. You see, a lot of us are confused, and it's, you know, we don't see and observe, and we're not analytical of the things and situations that's going on. You know, a lot of us, we don't ask the pertinent questions. Like, I always say questions are the best way to get to truth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't ask the pertinent questions, analyze the situation. Well, how did we get in this situation? How were projects started? Like, how is, you know, anywhere there's a white-black dynamic, black is at the bottom. Like, how do these situations occur, and how do these things happen? And then once you identify the problem, then you can, the mind can start thinking of solutions. But like the caller said, a lot of us are not even aware. So you're right, the power is on us, and we can easily do it because a lot of scholars and elders have laid out the work, what to do. Like, it's there. Like, there's no more excuses. That's why I say by 2020, if you're not on that page of black empowerment, then your chances are going to be slim moving forward. You know, if you're not working with the group, it's just natural selection. Things are going to happen to you. You know, either you go get killed by a black person or a white person go wash you up. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are things we got to really pay attention to, because 2020 is quickly approaching. And that's why I say everybody going to have 2020 vision by 2020. So it's going to be those that know and is about black empowerment, and those that don't know. That's going to be the separation. And the chips going to fall where they may, because each day the line between who's on the side and who's not on the side is getting wider and wider. You know, there's always situations to where things are happening to where you got to figure out what side you play on. So I think, like I say, to say all that, confusion is a major part of it on our part. And we've been confused by design. You know what I'm saying? So when y'all watch the news and be like, well, what's going on? There's a lot of answers to why things are the way they are. And I think the solutions are out there too. Everybody knows, you know, the solutions, so to speak, but nobody's really acting. As far as the masses of people are not acting on it based on the confusion that's out there. So, yeah, it's a lot going on. So this Collective Minds Radio, y'all, this Brother Kev, Rigel Starr, and Mufasa Ra, we are talking about the state of mind of black people. How do we, you know, overcome the anti-blackness attitude? How do we get to a point where
work
we can
together.
Trust each other, work
help
together,
each other. Right.
Help each other? Yeah, for the betterment of people. It's not about hating another group. It's not about trying to sabotage nobody else's advancement. It's about working together as a group. Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And I'm going to just put this out there, too, in the ether ways, and I'm going to let one of y'all go, because somebody said something today. They was like, you know, all these different businesses that are in our neighborhood, like, you know, you got the Chinese restaurants, you got the Arabs running things. They wouldn't survive if we didn't go in there and spend the money. You see what I'm saying? If we didn't go in there and spend the money, they would not survive. So part of it is on us to take that initiative and get out of our comfort zone, because that's what's hurting us too. A lot of us are too comfortable to drive an extra mile to, you know, if you don't want to go to this particular store. So by us supporting these other entities and people that are in our neighborhoods with these businesses, we are kind of condoning them coming in, taking our money, and taking it back to their people, you know. Mm-hmm. So it do work both ways, and that's part of our responsibility as a people. We have to be like, look, no, I'm not going to do this no more. You know, it comes to that point where you got to be like, enough is enough. And, you know, unfortunately, we got to be made to do a lot of things, it seems, as people. We got to be forced to do it. But one way or another, is like I said, it's going to happen. You know, one way or another, it's going to happen. But what was you saying, Mufasa?
No, you made me think about, like, how we'll go past, you know, a mom and pop store that's owned by one of our own to go to some of these other shops. You know, we just ain't. Yeah, we ain't. Revolutionary enough to say, hey, no matter what, I'm gonna spend my money with my brother or my sister. And like I said, it don't have to be nothing about hating another group of people. It's just about you loving your people. And y'all tell me this. Do y'all sometimes think that some black people feel guilty about having black love?
Yes.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You think they feel like if they express and show black love, that they'll be, you know, hurting or offending
it's
other people?
Up on. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, it's frowned upon in this society to show black love. I mean, it's becoming a little more popularized, you know, with Wakanda, Black Panther, and all that type of stuff. But a lot of it is frowned upon when you show black power because that's threatening to the white power structure because they think it's some type of attack on them. You know what I'm saying?
But why? But why do you think that, you know, black people have an issue with it? Like, I get what you're saying about, you know, how it's threatening to our white supremacist system, but what is it that's in the mind of black people that be like, oh, I don't want to do that. You know, I ain't with that black stuff.
Right, it's fear because they know that they can get punished by the white supremacists for doing that. So a lot of it is fear.
Mm.
You know, it's just fear-based. That's it. It's just fear. Because you feel
that's
like
deep.
You can get punished. Yeah.
Mm.
It's a lot of fear to show black love. So,
Roger, do you think you feel the same way, Roger? I was asking Roger, do you agree with that?
That it's fear?
Yeah. Do you think it's more to it's fear and it's some other factors too? What are some other factors outside of fear that would make us not want to express black love? You know, just being proud of our blackness.
Well, I think it starts with fear, and fear has a lot of other attachments that come along with it. It has other side effects to it. But I do think it starts with fear. Just as most people are afraid to die, to change is a form of a death if you want to transform. Because to transform, nothing remains the same. So that's a form of death. So it's fearful to change. It's fearful in the mindset to change because it's just like comparing it to a death, you know. And I do think it starts with definitely fear, just like Brother Kevin said. I totally agree with that. And it just have other side effects. So it definitely end up being other issues that comes attached with it, you know, because when you operate in fear, you're not taking full steps. Every step is a half step, and then there's a consequence to that. You know, just the way that you do things to interact, hesitating, you know, to make choices and decisions and choosing something to try to get away from the consequences that your fear is telling you you're going to experience. You know, all of those things loop around, and it definitely creates other side effects. But I do agree that it definitely causes fear.
So thinking about that, then that ties back into the whole slavery DNA type thing, because that fear must come from, you know, it's still embedded in our DNA. Because like right now, we're not getting just openly beaten and hung by. I mean, we still instances they go on, but we're not getting like beat up on in the streets blatantly and mobbed on by groups of white people for showing black love. So that fear that y'all are talking about is just embedded. And I think that must be embedded from the after effects of slavery.
Yeah, it's embedded, but if we can we have the ability as humans to transform ourselves. A lot of people don't realize that. We think we have to stay the same. No, we can transform.
Yeah,
just because we were born a certain way or we experienced something or a certain emotion and things like that, we actually have the ability to literally make a full transformation. We really
I 100% agree with that.
It gets that deep.
Right.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I was just trying to, you know, think of where this fear comes from. But I do agree we don't have to stay there. I'm just thinking of how and why is this fear in the mass of black people? Where did that fear come from?
Like,
why is it
there? Just like you said. Just like you suspected, you know, it's from it's passed down. It's memory. You know, our body memorizes it.
That's true.
It's history. You know,
it's
our
history,
body, which is memory. It's still end up being, you know, memory well, if memory reflects in different ways, it reflects in our DNA and our emotions and all those things and what we think, you know, and just like you guys made points before when we talked about history, you know, reading about books and things like that, reading over things from history, it's, when you do that, you keep it in the now. You don't get rid of, you know, you keep it in the now. So a lot of it is history, memory, things like that. I think that's where the fear comes. It's from when you have a newborn baby that grows up in today's time and grow up and with the fear of the things that we're talking about. It's just based off of memory, you know, that we hold on to. No one chose. I don't say no one chose, but no one changed, or in the common language sense, no one was delivered from the issues that they were dealing with. So they, you know, it carried over, right. It continued to carry over from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Yeah. No healing from the post-traumatic slavery that we've been through. But yeah, so a lot of it is that, and we got to come to terms and give some healing. That's why, again, the book recommendation is Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome by Dr. Joy DeGruy. That's Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome Disorder by Dr. Joy DeGruy. That's an excellent book. It deals with a lot of history, and it deals with a lot of healing, you know, so you can kind of navigate and try to get a better grasp of where we at as a people and what it's going to take to heal ourselves moving forward. You know what I'm saying?
And let's go to the phone line to get another caller. Do caller 314-616. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Peace. How's everybody doing tonight?
Peace. Good.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, I'm just chiming in. What was the topic again?
The topic tonight, we are talking about the mindset of Black people in regards to how we deal with each other. You know, where does that mindset come from? You know, do you think
we're
better? How do we eradicate it? Why do we mistreat each other in the way that we do things, you know?
I like what Dr. Umar said, about 90%. I think he said 80-some. I think it may be 90% of most Black people have a European mind. And because they are the computer programmers, this is why we are behaving and reacting the way that we are. I heard one of the people on the staff said fear. I think that a lot of us think that if we continue to love other ethnicities, particularly white people, that they'll be forgiving and they'll change their ways and, you know, this, that, and the other. I do think that we are in the verge of being exterminated. I was telling a couple people earlier this week, as we're seeing white America go back to the 60s as it relates to the way that they handle us and deal with us, because you have to understand, you can love white people all you want to, but the relationship between Blacks and whites is a power-based relationship. It's the same kind of relationship that you have with your son or your daughter, or if you were a owner of a business and you deal with your employees a certain way. They will give you a certain, you know, crumbs, but they're never going to give you the recipe. So the power is never going to be given up. But, you know, I even look at what's going on now. There's an attack against the Black man. And our women are joining these Me Too movements and approving the negative message that's being disseminated about us. And they're attacking a lot of the celebrities from, you know, Bill Cosby. Now it's up to Charlamagne and this other football player. But what's interesting about this, because we are negative energy vampires, it feeds our energy every day to hear a negative things about Black men. Here, we don't even listen to the facts, and I'm seeing where this football player, LeSean McCoy, you know, I don't know what the allegations were, but I guess the woman was alleging that I guess she was assaulted or something to that effect. Turns out he wasn't even in the same state that day. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
Wow.
But,
yeah, I heard about that story.
We've already taken to Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and made memes, you know, just, you know, so it's like we are the buffers that is keeping this negative thing alive. And we have to stop that. And until we bring back the family and we do what they were doing in the 60s, which is building black relationships, becoming black nationalists, becoming black supremacists. You know, I was telling somebody that there was a time, if my memory serves me correctly, you know, at the height of the civil rights movement, where groups like the Nation of Islam would see young men out on the street and they would snatch them up, put them in a van, get their mind right, and drop them back off to where they were.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we don't go back to that, we're going to get destroyed. Because it's up. I look at it like, you know, whoever the religious leader is in your community, whether it's a mosque or whatever, you know, the drug dealers, these are the people most influenced, yet we give them the least accountability. So
right.
If you want to sell your poison in my community, how can we reduce the crime here? You know, can you operate your business and not have any murders? You know, if God is the source of this community, when are we going to take God's money and begin to build things that are going to liberate us? You know, where
right.
are our supermarkets? You know, like right now, I guess that there's a primary election coming up. You know, when are we going to stand together and unite as black people who populate the communities and say, you know what, we need to get these Asians out of here. We need to get these Hispanics out of here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get all these other ethnicities out of here because they're the ones that are sucking the blood out of us. And the fact that they don't even stay in our neighborhood is something, you know, that
right.
I don't even can't even fathom. Even when it comes to
mm-hmm.
education and policing. Why don't the police that police us live in our neighborhoods? Why don't the teachers, the educators live in our neighborhoods? See, it would be a different approach
yeah.
if I knew that I'm teaching your son or daughter, and if you have an issue with what's going on, you know that I'm just up the street, around the block.
Right.
It alleviates me from a lot of responsibility if I can sit back and miseducate your son or daughter and then go out to St. Charles at the end of the day. You know, I can come out from Ferguson or Clayton, you know, and shoot your son in broad daylight, and then go home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
you know,
I definitely feel that, Carl. I think unfortunately, with America the way it's structured, like us having that community type vibe that you're talking about, and I know exactly what you're talking about in that idea, but I don't know if America is even structured like that. To where back in the day you would be living next door to your teacher, to your doctor,
yeah.
to your, you know what I mean? We would all be in the
right.
same neighborhood. And that was desegregation. You know, that was back
right.
during the segregation era where we was all in the community together and we had a lot more to lose by going against each other than working together. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And I mean, because we see the rollback of them going back to the 60s, why are we not
mm-hmm.
doing the same thing? If I'm
exactly.
an auto mechanic or a barbershop, you know,
exactly.
whatever, why am I not seeing you out on the street and say, hey, man, let me spend some time with you for a day. You know, come in here into my auto body shop and let me show you how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me show you how to
mm-hmm.
do this. So a lot of the crimes
mm-hmm.
that we perpetuate against each other, they are,
yep.
are crimes economically. So
fact.
We have to figure out how we're going to correct our economic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a lot of self-hate to the fact that we are so in love with these European designers and high-end clothing or whatever. If it ain't Louis Vuitton, Dolce, and this, that, and the other, I'm not even dealing with it. So
right. yeah.
it's nothing wrong with loving fashion, but how come we don't know how to make clothes? I mean,
right,
we look
right.
the best in clothes, so why are we not figuring out how to make a lot of the high-end stuff but have it be black-owned? I don't
yeah.
know. But,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
That's pretty much where I'm standing on that. And until we formulate some type of black nationalism and begin to have more respect for others that think or believe differently, but we unite on the fact that we're both black and we're having the same issues and we're under the same oppression, we are on the verge right now of getting terminated because we don't control the media
yep.
outlet. You know, and
yep.
whether it's a celebrity or whatever it is, when you continue to hear in your mind over and over and over and over and over again that this person did that, the ultimate thing that's disseminating in the media is that the black men are dangerous.
Yes, sir. And that's been going on for a while. So this Collective Minds Radio, y'all,
yeah,
we are talking
Carla.
About this. Thank you, Carla, for calling in. We are talking about the state of mind of black people and trying to offer some solutions and to see how are we going to come to a point where enough of us are working together. Because like I said, I don't think the masses are going to get on the same page. And just for the record, when I talk about black unity, right, that doesn't mean that we all got to agree on the same religion, same God, on things like that, politics, whatever, whatever. It's about working together, having a code, understanding that the system has lumped us together and we need to work together to raise ourselves up out of the current condition and create the kingdom right here, as they talk about in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? And that all starts with the mental and the mindset, because the battlefield is the mind. Make no mistake. Everything that has been created and all of our problems and wrote started in our mind. And we got to break the chains of this miseducation we've been given and realize who and what we are from the inside out. You know, if that makes sense. I went a little cosmic, went a little cosmic care on y'all, but we got
to
work on
it. Let's try
to
get to the phone lines before we get to try to take a few more callers. There you go.
Yeah,
caller 706, caller 7, area code 706-247. Caller, you have a question or a comment?
Hello.
He's calling. Hello, how you doing, caller? Thanks for calling in. You have a question or a comment?
Okay, let's go to another caller. Let's go to caller. Area code 336-965. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, loud and clear, caller. Thanks for calling.
You can still hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I really got on the call real late. I just thought about it. I got on it real late. So what were you talking about? What was the discussion?
Well, we were discussing the state of mind of black people as it relates to how we treat each other. And it started from, I don't know if you're familiar with Dame Dash and Lee Daniels, basically two successful black men in their own businesses. And Damon Dash had loaned $2 million to Lee Daniels to produce a movie or do something, and he never paid him back, and he had to go in front of him and, you know, basically ask for his money, put him on Front Street. And he was telling him, you know, as a black man, I thought we could work together. I could loan you the money, and, you know, everything would be good. So we're just trying to figure out what is this mindset of or mentality of black people mistreating each other, not trusting each other, not working together. Where does that mindset come from? And, you know, how can we overcome that mindset?
This has been going on a long time because I'm very old, and it's been going on when I was very young. Somehow they really trained our mind to be against each other. I don't care how it would take a long, long time to really clear our mind and renew our mind, where we can start thinking of ourselves as just as good as everybody else. But it's been going on so long, and people have that negative mindset that I'm out, even though you're nice to me, but I'm out to get you because you owe me something because I'm better than you or something like that. I don't know. It's just been going on so long, and it's kind of hard to change. We need to start with our young children. We need to start changing their mindset so they won't grow up like. And I think that's the only way it's going to change is for the young people. If we can get the young people to start thinking a little different and to love each other, don't color their skin is, they light skin, dark skin, white skin, brown skin, whatever color their skin is, it doesn't make a difference. It's what's in their mind and how they think and their knowledge. And that's what we have to work with the young people. You know, the old people are always saying their ways to change, but we really need to work with
right.
To change their minds. I think that's the only way it's
going to
work.
Let me ask you this, caller. Do you think is fear is fear the reason that we don't show black love towards one each other? Do you think does fear have anything to do with that?
I don't think fear has anything to do with it. I just think it's our mindset. And when you said fear, and people are afraid to love each other, or like each other, do things for each other because they think they're going to get hurt. And when you said
right, because some people, let me just say this, Carl, because some people think being pro-black is being negative, or, you know, they may think pro-black means you don't like white.
Right.
You know, so I don't, you know, that I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but a lot of people do, like I say, think that pro-black means anti-white.
Anti-white. Right.
The mindset. We've been brainwashed.
Right.
Let's get more callers.
Let me ask
the
caller something real quick before you go. Carla, are you familiar with, because you say you've been around for a while. You familiar with the works of Elijah Muhammad or Marcus Garvey?
Yes.
What do you know about Elijah Muhammad's program, and why do you think that wasn't the answer, or why more black people ain't following that program today? Because it seemed like that program would have us being more self-sufficient and more caring towards each other.
I think the program started out to be a good program. If they change the mindset of the way they're thinking, they really wanted separation. They really try to keep people from really, you saw like black power and all that. They really, really want the separation. If they had came up another way and tried to bring us together as one and stop still trying to separate us, and that's what that program was all about after them, it was too much separation.
Oh, okay. All right.
Now, I might be wrong on that, but that's where I feel.
Interesting. Indeed. So the separation shied black people away from that. Okay.
Right, yeah. When you start talking and doing right, even if black people talk really with knowledge, they say, oh, you're trying to be white. And that's what they were doing, too. They were separating you from who you are and what you were doing. I don't know. Just crazy. I think they were trying to separate us.
Okay, indeed. Thanks for the call, Colin.
Thanks.
We appreciate it. Thank you. If you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio, and we're talking about the state of mind of black people in regards to how we treat each other. You know, where does this mindset come from, and how do we overcome it? But we definitely believe. If you can mute your line, Colin. I'll mute the caller. I think the theme is it starts in the mind. And the caller made a good point as far as getting to the kids. You know, even though I believe the future is now and we need to work on ourselves, and if we work on ourselves, of course, we will affect the kids and the people that are around us. You know what I'm saying? But this is definitely a mental game. And like I said, we've been programmed to not trust each other, to mistreat each other, and to...
I think that was real interesting what she said. That was real interesting. That's something we got to talk about down the road, too, about what she said about the separation. You know, black people, those programs, speaking of separation, scared or feared a lot of black people away from wanting to join. That's interesting. I'm going to think over that one for... a little bit.
That is interesting because I was for separation. I think the way they had it before was perfectly fine. I mean, it's unfortunate, but my thing is it was never the black people that was against separation or integration. You know, it was just we were put in a situation after so-called slavery to where things were segregated. So if you're going to segregate, it's okay. This is how we're going to function. You see what I'm saying? Because we know where the dynamic of black and white anywhere on the planet that is, the black is on the bottom and the white is at the top. You know, so it's not like, you know, we had a problem. We saw how we were treated when we were amongst them. And so those particular groups were calling for separation based on that. But we know black people are very accepting and willing to work with people. But if you're seeing being treated a certain type of way, it's time for you to do your own thing and move on.
And it ties in, and it seems like it ties in with the fear thing again. Now
Black people have a fear of what may happen to them if we separate.
If they separate, exactly. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, afraid.
Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to caller 314-805. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Hey, everyone. I got a comment. So I'm enjoying the show. It's really interesting conversation.
Indeed.
So my take is, I don't want to say it's different, but it's a question. Now, from what I can see as a whole, we're doing well, but the image that's being portrayed in this information age is that we're not doing well and we're all messed up. Because and I grew up in the neighborhood or whatever. Well, I know a lot of people that are doing well, but then I know some people that aren't doing well. And then I work with a lot of Caucasians, and they have the same issues that we have. They just don't talk about it as much, and it's not
true.
As publicized on the news.
True.
Because I sit and I listen, and I'm like, oh, wow. Damn.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't publicize it, and it's not dominated in the media.
Right.
Well, Carla, I do have to ask you this, Carla, because I don't know if you was listening earlier when I was saying that I work around a lot of white people as well, and the stories that we talk about, they don't have as many stories about killing each other and, you know, love friends and family getting murdered. I got enough stories to take on everybody else, and all their stories could combine and still not be enough for my stories. And I mean, that's crazy to me.
Yeah, and I agree with you. So the murders, that's a whole different story. But when it comes to this quote-unquote opioids and all that stuff, and I listen to them say other things, they have some issues. Now, we can do a lot better. In a lot of instances, all of us can do a lot better. But I think we need to be careful with this information overflow that does point a negative picture of us, and that's how old boy 45 won, right? Oh, everything is all screwed up, and the world States is horrible, and only I can fix it, and all that stuff. All that to say,
that is true.
There's a lot of good brothers and sisters out here who support black businesses and all those things. It's just that now, and I don't know about them, but the information out here is just so, it's so intense. And you're right. The media or whoever, it's a image that's pointed to, that's portrayed of us is really bad.
Exactly.
Now,
agreed. Great point, Carl. Great point.
Yeah. So I heard you guys talking about this Dame Dash thing here, because I hadn't heard about it until started listening to the show. So it looks like Dame's issue is going to be solved in the court. Now, if you look at Lee Daniels, he said it was a $2 million investment. And Dame is like, hey.
And Dame said it was a loan.
So
it depends
on
a loan.
And the movie that they invested in, it blew up or whatever.
It did blow up, right. Exactly. And that's why I said earlier, it does depend on how you look at it, because Lee Daniels is saying it was an investment. Dame is saying it was a loan, because if it's an investment, you can lose.
Well, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on, y'all, because I saw Lee Daniels say out his own mouth. I heard Lee Daniels say out his own mouth that he was wrong and that he was going to work it out with Dame, that he should have reached out to him prior to this and, you know, start paying that guy his money back.
And you're exactly right. Lee Daniels said that.
Right.
He said Dame invested in me when no one else would. And I'll work it out with him.
So
now,
even to acknowledge that, you know, whether it was a loan or not, just to acknowledge that, they deserve something from Lee. Why not show gratitude?
Right.
Yeah,
so Lee, he made his statement. Now, on the flip side, if I recall correctly, Dame did his things too, as far as Jay-Z and all those guys go. So that
thing that he's not dealt with this case, though, when he talking about Lee Daniels, you know.
No, I agree. That's a here and there with that case. But the information is out there that Dame pushed when he pushed the video out there. to me is that me, Daniel, is wrong and I'm great. But if you look up Dane Dash's history, it's like, oh, Daniel,
right,
you ain't no better than Lee. So,
right,
again, to
exactly
get back to that information that's being fed to us in this 24/7
mm-hmm
information age,
yeah,
I think a lot of us are doing good.
Indeed.
Then,
yeah, I definitely want to touch on that because that is an excellent point, caller, because the information they put out there, they always show our bad side and make the entire race responsible for that. But here's a stat that many people may not know. Overall violent crime has been going down in the black communities since like the 90s. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's starting to try to tick back up now, but they don't promote that because they want you to think that it's all doom and gloom. But like the caller stated, you know, there are a lot of black people that are doing some good things and have improved the quality of life. The problem is, as a collective group of people, we're still not where we should be, you know, based on inflation and all these other things. We still don't have a nice set of the pie. We still don't own a lot of industries and control a lot of industries that we should. We still don't have the ownership and things of that nature in our community. So as a collective, we're not where we should be, but individually, black people are making strides. So we don't want to confuse the two, because individually, you know, I'm sure everybody on this well is doing good. We're not one for meals. We have somewhere to lay our head, you know, so on and so forth, things like that. But as a collective, we only, as far as the wealth of this country, we don't have enough to even put a dent in the, you know, GDP, the gross domestic product. Like, we're still not on a level where we should be as far as other races are concerned when it comes to resources and wealth. So,
right.
You know,
and
it's important that we keep that, we keep that separate. So go ahead.
Okay, thanks, caller, for calling in. Let's go to caller area code 706-425. Caller, do you have a question or a comment?
Greetings. I am enjoying the show. I'm calling from Georgia. The comment that I want to make is we are in very bad conditions. My name is Elena. I'm from the American Institute of Human Rights. It's a non-governmental organization where we teach international human rights law, and we apply that law to our social problems. And what we have found with our research, we just don't go around making blanket statements. We are in dire straits economically.
Right.
Our
right
resources have
right
been severely misappropriated due to the fact that we were misinformed during civil rights. According to our research, we have been re-enslaved legally and politically at least three, maybe four times since the abolishment of slavery. And we do know slavery still exists via the penal system, because the corporations they benefit hugely economically off of our brothers who are incarcerated for sometimes nonviolent crimes. Let's look at the marijuana issue. Okay, for at least five decades, they've been arresting and throwing the book at black men for selling marijuana, which is a medicinal product. Now the white boys can go make millions off of it, but yet we still have our men and our young males and older males as well who has for generations been locked up for a nonviolent crime. So I don't know where these people get that we're doing so well. I look at research.
Right.
The United Nations has been over here since 2015. They have well documented the poverty. There's been a hookworm episode up in Loudoun County, Alabama, where people literally live in their sewage, but yet they have a tax base. And that tax base has been misappropriated to white areas. Also, there's issues like the Flint water poisoning. So I don't know where these Negroes have been who think we're doing so damn good. So my issue is we have to start not being afraid to acknowledge that we have issues. The black-on-black crime, that's not really black-on-black crime. That's fratricide. That's what oppressed groups do. They internalize trauma. This is a mental issue that we're dealing with. When I don't like what I see, the person who looks like me, I feel like I need to dehumanize that person that looks like me because you're the closest thing to me. To let loose some of my anger. So that's what we're dealing with. But when these mental health facilities treat our people, they're treating them from a pathological perspective like it's their fault when the blame is the person, the people to blame is the United States government because they've never remedied our issue. We're still political prisoners. We're intergenerational prisoners of war because when they invaded on the shores of Africa, that was an act of war, and when they came over they invaded. It was an act of war.
Oh, caller, you
so
dropped it.
So this is what we have to start talking about. We can't keep sugarcoating this. When
the civil rights
era, what happened during civil rights, that was a manipulation movement.
Yeah.
Because if you look at what was African countries doing. Decolonizing. What was Asian and Latin American countries doing? They were decolonizing. And the United States was supposed to have decolonized over here, too. They were supposed to have put us on what you call a non-self-governing list. And what that would have done, it would have pulled us out of their jurisdiction and put us into an international jurisdiction that would have made room for us to self-govern. Economic independence. That's what happened to us. But instead, Martin Luther King, and I'm not a fan. I'm going to be real with it. I'm not a fan because he knew. He knew, and the people that marched with him knew that we were already here. They got our identity jacked up. Okay? It is what it is. We are not totally African. We are a mixture of Africans, the aboriginal people who were here, and they've done studies, like with those bone things they done dug up. Those were Australoid, sub-Saharan, and Asian and European mixed people. That's who we are. We are autochthonous indigenous people. But they got us jacked up saying all of us came from Africa. No. 1619 was not the only point of entry. Here in the South, the point of entry was in the 1400s. Our ancestors came here in waves. So, therefore, our status should have been the same status as the Native Americans. That means we should have had some control of our lives. But what did they do?
Right.
They recolonized us, re-enslaved us, and re-enslaved us economically. Okay?
Yeah, economic, definitely, yes. Yes, Colin, you have been dropping it. Yes, we appreciate it. You
so
dropped it.
So we have got to stop being afraid.
Facts.
And speak truth to power. And it's not about us wanting to be separate, but it's about setting boundaries. These people leech off of our tax base. Our tax base is used to kill us, to pay the police to kill us. Our tax base is used to miseducate our children and teach our children that they came and derived from a slave people. Our ancestors were not slaves.
We're
they
not
were
slaves,
enslaved.
Not at all.
They
exactly. They were prisoners of war. And like you say, words are very important. They were prisoners of war. We were prisoners of war. Black people have to come to terms with that. We were not slaves because slave derives from the Slavic term when the Slavics were enslaved in Europe somewhere. So we were not slaves. We were prisoners of war.
Exactly.
And we should be owning up and taking back what is rightfully ours
because
we got
international
home court
law.
Advantage. This is our earth. We got home court advantage.
Exactly. And what makes it so bad and sad, we have international and human rights laws that protect us because we are intergenerational prisoners of war.
And our human rights are violated every day in this country.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. And these riots, let's take a look at the riots in 1992. Those were uprisings.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Right.
Because we were re-enslaved politically, legally, and economically. Okay?
Yeah.
Every time we uprise, oh, it's a riot. No, it's not. That's an uprising. That's a response
right.
to all of this oppression you have been doing to us. Every action,
right.
baby, gets a reaction. Okay?
That's right.
What happened out
That's
there
right.
in Missouri? That was an uprising. Okay?
That's right.
So until we come to grips with these people are warring against us, and we always
yeah.
want to keep, oh, that's black on, that's not black on black crime in Chicago. You don't know whether or not that's black on black crime. You know what they do to oppressed groups in countries when they want to keep
mm-hmm.
a genocide silent?
They start
send
the
out
war.
Jump, they send out
yep.
jump out crews. We don't know if those gangs are really killing somebody. How we know them ain't Africans or somebody dressed up? Some type of, what do they call mercenaries dressed up? Black
That's right.
is dressed up, killing
yep.
our people. We ain't got no
That's right.
They tortured
That's
144
right.
men up in Chicago from 1993
right.
to 2005. Okay?
That's right, Carlo. That's
the
right.
Same
now that and
John
I'm
Bird,
glad you
the
said
police
that.
Chief did that on the United States soil. But you got
That's
Negroes
right.
that fought around talking about some damn black on black crime.
That's right. Let me hop in, Carlo. Let me hop in. You're going
in.
You're going in. You're going in. But that, you're making some excellent points, and we appreciate your call. Listen, when you talked about the new, like, this is why we have to be careful what we digest as far as what our eyes see and the propaganda that they put into the news and these movies, because they are programming us to think that we're out here killing each other and doing all these things. But like the caller said, you know, we don't have a lot of proof, and a lot of these people are clones and mentally ill people who just don't get it, and they're committing fratricide, like she said, based on poverty and the conditions that are in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? So all of this, the mentality that we're talking about today as far as black people have, all of this is by design. So like I said before, it's about those who recognize this and those who don't. And like I said before, collectively, as a group, we have been economically castrated and resources have been hoarded away from us. And we must understand this. Yes, you may have a house. Yes, you may be working good, getting paid six figures or whatever. But collectively as a group, your people are still out here suffering. Now, it's going to be up to them in this information age to get the knowledge and liberate their minds to a team mindset. Not saying you have to agree with every black person. You have to, you know, go to lunch and be nice to every. No, it's not even about that. It's about being on code and collectively working together and understanding that the least of us is, you know, those are the people who we need to be lifting up, the least of us. You see what I'm saying? And not throwing them away like society tries to throw our entire race away. And they put the bad on Front Street and make it look like it's the entire race that's doing this, when we know that it's only a few knuckleheads terrorizing our neighborhoods, and the majority of black people only want, you know, the best things in their life. They want to improve the quality of life of their family, have a good life without any impediment from outside sources. You see what I'm saying? That's just the basics. So we have to come to grips with that. This has been a stimulating conversation. Thank all the callers. Rigel Star.
Let's try to take one more call.
Let's try to
get
one more
call
in.
We're going to do one more call in. We have to shout out caller 3143.
Yeah, you guys gotta get this.
Comment?
You gotta get this Trump support in there. What you guys doing?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm doing fine. But you know, here's the thing: African Americans, and some of the things the lady said, I'm not gonna get into an argument, but I don't agree. Actually, blacks owe Africans reparations because your ancestors.
That
was
down
sent
now.
Here.
Hold on, break that down.
I'm getting ready to break it down because you had tribal, you had tribal warfare that was going on between, for instance, let me give you an example, Ashantis, Awais, and Ga. and Shanti, a warrior, marauders would come into these people's villages and rob them, take the cattle, steal, burn their crops, burn their huts, kidnap their men, women, children, rape their women. It went on with them, went on with the Dahomey, it went on with the Yoruba. So when they fought back and captured some of these marauders, and they was required to pay for the damages that they'd done, and they couldn't, well, they were sold off in order to compensate for the damages that they'd done. And many that were sold off.
Sold to the European Nazi.
No, they were sold off to African traders who eventually sold to the Europeans. Sold to whoever.
Let's be clear. Because slavery in Africa had nothing to do with the chattel slavery in Africa.
We're not talking about chattel slavery. I'm talking about
servitude all. Right, but I'm just saying. Let's not
No, I'm talking about because my wife is anyway from the Volta region. They talk about this, you know, time. Now, these people that did that owe a debt to these villages. Now,
correct.
I'm at that time. Now, they are the ancestors of blacks today. So if we're going to say that whites owe today for what their ancestors done then, well, the same thing can apply that blacks owe today for what their ancestors done to these tribes over in Africa. And
no,
you know the funny thing?
Stop right there. This is the point I was bringing up, because those slaves in Africa could work their debt off. When we talk about slavery in America, there was no working your slavery off. You were a slave. Your kids were a slave. We're talking about generational slavery. When we talk about slavery in Africa, you could work off your debt.
Well, you're talking about a different thing.
You were able to establish another life.
Let me explain to you one more time.
Generational.
Let me explain to you one more time. These marauders was caught. Awe and God combined together to fight them off, and they caught hundreds of them. And they could not pay. And heck, they didn't want them anyway, so they got rid of them. They got rid of their riffraff. And their riffraff ended up in the Americas to become the ancestors of present, not maybe all blacks today, who owe for what their ancestors done to those Awe, God, Mahomie, and some of the other tribes over there. And it was wars going back and forth. So that's, and you know the funny thing they say, you come over there and build something, they're going to take it. And I see that going on. I see here about blacks that's buying land over there and send money, go there, the land's gone. There ain't no land. They don't took the money because they remember going on what has happened and they trying to collect their debt. But that's a whole different story.
You know. Yeah, that's a whole nother topic. So we gonna have to leave.
But you know
that
another
right
thing
there.
Too, when blacks flee these areas and move to where they want to live comfortable, you got these progressives that try to send people into these areas that don't have no means whatsoever to sustain their livelihoods in those areas. You got these organizations like 24/7, and we've seen other ones in the past. As a matter of fact, when Dooley was superintendent of St. Louis County, people
the
got over
executive.
On it. Yeah, county executive. You remember they getting on him because they was starting a lot of Section 8 in far north county, and the blacks say, look, we tired of this stuff. Put some of that stuff down in south county. And the reason why, because the conditions is created that brings down people's property values. And Hazelwood Central was a damn good high school, good school district.
We appreciate the comment, Colin. This is a very excellent show. Please call back in next Sunday, even if you just want to make a comment about what, you know, what we were talking about today. Do that. Go ahead, thank you, Brother Kevin.
Yes, we go get ready to close it out. This Collective Minds, thank you all the callers and supporters. This has been stimulating. Hopefully you have time to think, question, analyze. Asking questions is the best way. We'll see y'all later on Collective Minds Radio. Peace. Right the star, Mufasa Ra. Brother Kid. Peace, y'all.
Next week.
Next week. See you next week.
Niggas wanna see me down, cause I'm on top. But I ain't mad. Niggas wanna see me down. That's why they rap. Say I ain't mad. I ain't mad. I ain't mad. It's just say I ain't mad. I ain't mad. I ain't mad. It's just say I ain't mad. I ain't mad. I ain't mad. Yeah, these niggas want me dead. They tryna get.